This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
To work with us on your podcast, go to soundrebel.co.uk. Over the Influence is no longer just a podcast. Our online community is buzzing with people like you.
Hey, my name is Aaron, 29, and I live in a wee village just south of Glasgow. I've been sober curious for a couple of years now, regularly listening to the podcast while stuck in the drinking hamster wheel. I would class myself as a middle-aged drinker, starting from a young age to drinking 2 pints of Guinness and a bottle of wine every night as standard, ramping it up at the weekends. I had my last drink on the 31st of December, 22, kicking off the new year with dry January. 2 weeks in, I took the plunge and decided to join the community. It was the best decision I made. I have made friends for life in the community who are always there if I need support and to help celebrate milestones. Previous failed attempts at sobriety were always on my own. Connection is key. If you're listening to this podcast and you're sober curious or attempting this on your own, I encourage you to make that leap and join us. You won't regret it.
You've heard the podcast. Now join the conversation. Go to overtheinfluence.co.uk.
Welcome to Over the Influence. It is 2024. It's the 1st of January. Happy flipping AF New Year. Thank you so much for listening to our podcast. It could well be the case, given the start of the new year in January, that you are considering having a dry month and you've put into your podcast provider sober, alcohol-free, mindful drinking, that sort of thing, and up we have popped. So let me give you an introduction as to who we are. I say we. Normally, you'd be hearing from my co-host Ben Anderson as well, but unfortunately, he's not able to join us today, so I am flying solo. Well, flying solo as a host, but I've got a load of people to introduce to you throughout the course of this podcast. So my name is Sharon Hartley. I'm based in Lancashire in the northwest of England. Last year, back end of in November, I turned 50 years old and I have just enjoyed my 6th alcohol-free Christmas. It's been amazing. It's been brilliant. It's something I thought, well, I just thought it wasn't possible. I didn't think I could do it. And I certainly didn't think I could enjoy it. I only ever meant to take a break from the booze for about 90, 100 days anyway. I just kept going. Something really bonkers happened. I fell in love with sobriety. And here I am, wanging on about it week in, week out on this rather marvellous podcast. Something brilliant that happened on the back of the podcast was the birth, big word that, of our Over the Influence community. Basically, it's an online platform, and we do meet in real life as well, where people who are considering changing their relationship with alcohol, people that have been sober for many, many years, people just starting out, maybe just like you at the moment, it's where we come together, celebrate the good stuff, share the rubbish bits as well, but ultimately sing about sobriety. And I think what's at the heart of it is very much connection and knowing that you are not on your own. So when we spoke to our community and said, look, it's dry January, it's a month where people are considering changing their relationships with alcohol, come and share your stories, come and talk to us. So it's one thing me wanging on about it week in, week out, but it's something else when we hear from the people that maybe like you started listening to this podcast, you know, in the month of January after another December, maybe not to remember. So enough of me wanging on this Zoom call today. I have got a load of community members that have started listening to the podcast. They then joined our community. Friendships have been made. People have walked mountains together. They've got together. And there's so many faces on here. So I'm going to start in Scotland, actually, with community member Aaron. Now, if you're thinking, I know that name, and you might recognise that voice. Aaron was on a podcast towards the end of last year with another community member called Chris. But I'm really pleased to say for this episode, Aaron, you're on time and you've not been stuck in traffic. How are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you. Yes, very well. I was somewhat stressed trying to get here on time.
Not again. And thank you so much. We're so very grateful. What I will do is direct people back to the episode with yourself and our good friend and community member, Chris, who is back home safely in the States now, if you want to hear that chat. It's just so very lovely. But just give us a quick introduction as to who you are, Aaron, what you do, and where in the world you are.
Yeah, so my name's Aaron. I'm 30. I joined OTI when I was still 29, and I live in a little village just south of Glasgow in Scotland, and I fix cameras for a living. So yeah, that's pretty much me in a very short nutshell.
And also, what you've neglected to say there, Aaron, is that you are alcohol-free and you've been doing amazing at this since you started.
Yeah, absolutely. So I started on the 1st of January 2023. So we're now a year, which is quite crazy to think that I've come that far. For me, going alcohol-free, it always felt weird. I took many stints and I had many day ones, but it always felt very weird doing it like just randomly in the middle of a month or just like on a random Tuesday. The way my brain works is I had to always do it on a Monday, or if it wasn't a Monday, I also had to do it on the first of the month, thinking that I would try and get a month alcohol free. And that was always just the goal, was to try and get a month under the belt. But I thought, God, how cool would it be to go alcohol free this year, or to certainly just get dry January. But I thought I was turning 30 this year, and it'd be quite cool to be sober when I turned 30, but never thinking that that would actually happen. And now it has, is quite surreal to have got this far. But I joined in January, but I started being alcohol free on January 1st. And I had my sister's 40th coming up at the end of the month. And I kind of wanted some support for getting through that, but I don't know, I kind of had no real intentions of carrying on any further. But then listening to other community members chatting, I suddenly thought, do you know what, I'll go for 100 days. I think when I listened to people that were, say, in their 40s and 50s and going, wow, I wish I was your age when I started on this journey, the amount of time that I've wasted, and you know, relatively normal people.
Hang on a minute. Relatively normal.
Well, the ones in Scotland anyway are. I thought they were telling me that they wish they had done it. So maybe I should give this a shot. So I'll go for 100 days. And then we talk about now in the community and other people probably listening to the podcast, if they're in the sober sphere world, 100 days seems to be the day where change really happens. And it does. Your mindset changes somewhat. And then I thought I'll go for 6 months, and then it suddenly was like, right, let's get the year. But now I'm happy to say that I'm openly telling people that I don't plan on drinking ever again, which is quite crazy. But, you know, it's been hard work. I've put in a lot of work to get to where I am, but for the majority of the time, I'm in a pink cloud, which has been wonderful.
Oh, I love it. And, you know, you have been with us since the start, and it's been a real pleasure to witness, I'm going to say it, and I'm sorry, the journey. Because you see, it's not been easy. And when you start out, you can't, I don't know about you, Aaron, you know, when I started out, I couldn't have imagined like 10 days, really, or the first weekend, never mind a stint of 100 and then going on to become 5 years. It's difficult. And we're going to talk to somebody else actually on this episode shortly who said, you know, I just had to believe these people, the believer, Susan. She's had two previous episodes with us. Fill your boots with those as well. Aaron, there's going to be somebody listening now that's exactly where you were 1 year ago, you know, tentatively thinking, oh God, where do I start? What do I do? What would you say, having been there, done that, and now got the OTI t-shirt?
Yeah, it's quite surreal. I was thinking on the train home tonight, thinking, what would I say if I was listening to it? Because I listened to the podcast for a long time before I went alcohol free, and I had a lot of day ones, and I listened to the likes of Susan, who we're about to hear from, and listened to her podcast episodes over and over again, but was still, you know, on the hamster wheel of
thinking that I could moderate. It seems so scary. I think even just forgetting a week seems scary, but literally just taking every day as it comes, it's suddenly, before you know it, you can be at 100 days. It's crazy how it is challenging to start off with, and all you think about is not drinking and all the triggers. But suddenly at some point it switches, and even though I immerse myself in the community pretty much every day, even though I'm talking about alcohol, I don't think about it in the same way. So yeah, I think I would just say take every day as it comes.
I love that. Aaron, you're a superstar. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're more than welcome. And something Aaron also didn't mention, he's now such an active part of our community. He hosts Zoom calls, shares his experiences with other members. He's always trolling off for coffee and cake with his OTI mates in Scotland, that sort of thing. It's glorious. It really, really is. Aaron, we think the world of you. Thank you so much for joining us on this New Year's episode of Over the Influence. Somebody we just talked about there, who's also very dear to us here at OTI, is Susan McGarry. Now, you've heard Susan on two previous episodes. I mean, this is the third time. Susan, you're due for your next third full episode, actually. Susan McGarry, the believer, and then it was Susan, the achiever. What, I don't know what to call you for this one. I have no idea.
Just that I'm here, I suppose. Just...
Susan, she's here. That'll do. And so as we're recording this, Susan, you are heading towards your third soberversary, 3 years alcohol-free. And you also started in January, didn't you? Take us back.
Yes, thanks, Shaz. Yeah, I'd had a few stints of being alcohol-free prior to going for it in the January. I decided I was going to drink at Christmas. We were still in lockdown. So, and I was then going to give dry January and beyond a go. So my previous longest stint had been 28 days. So I started on the first Monday, because to me, no one starts on you don't start on the 1st of Jan, you start on the first work day once you go back. So that would be the Monday, the 4th. And I did 2 weeks. And like you mentioned there, the idea of doing a weekend was like, oh God. Now, I had a little bit more faith in myself because I had had a break, you know, I had had a couple of breaks before. But I had a blip then on the 18th of Jan. I remember walking to the supermarket saying, do I really want to do this? Do I really want to do this? And I was getting a hell yes back from the chimp and from my inner chimp. So I did. I went to the supermarket and walked back home. I even made myself walk so I could contemplate it. And I drank. And then I thought, right, okay, just going to keep on going. And then so the 19th is my soberversary. And I just kept on going. Come the end of January, I then said, well, I need to do a full month. So I have to keep going till the 19th of February. And then in effect, even though I'd had a blip, it kind of felt like 6 weeks. So I then said, well, I'll just keep going till the end of February. And then I said, well, I'll just try March. And, you know, and I was then getting into that. I think I'll go for 90 days because I felt very cautious. I was really worried about setting a goal. You know, I was really worried about that, you know, that would be setting myself up for failing. You know, like Aaron said about saying about 100 days that, you know, it would just overwhelm me. But, you know, saying that, I was not kidding myself that I was a healthy drinker or that I could moderate. I was literally just thinking just another few weeks. But I knew in my heart of hearts, I did want to stop drinking completely. I just could not say that out loud.
I think it's it takes such a long time, actually, to be able to say that, doesn't it? You know, you've been at this 3 years nearly, Susan. I've been at this, you know, more than five. I think I might have been, I don't know, three and a half years in when I actually said, I'm done. You know, I'm never drinking again. And I think at the back of my mind, I knew. But a lot of it for me was, it was just fending off, really. It was just batting away, you know, I'll be back soon. Oh, you're still doing that flipping stupid alcohol-free thing. Yeah, Yeah, I am, because it turns out it's quite good. I mean, it's a big question to sort of sum up 3 years, but, you know, starting in the January and then going a bit longer and then going a bit longer. It actually reminds me very much of the way Ben did things, you know, because when he started, he was background Ben, and then it is 20 and 2020, and then, right, I'll do 30 days and I'll do 60. Right, okay, I'll go for the 100. How would you sum up for you then the last 3 years, making that decision to take a break during the month of January?
Scary, life-changing. You know, life-changing would, you know, some of it has been on the scary element. You know, I've made some big decisions about my life, and one of the things I particularly enjoyed is, you know, having that clarity that the decisions I make, you know, I'm not drowning my sorrows. I'm not fixing anything with alcohol. And I don't even know if I want to use that term, fixing anything with alcohol, because that infers I was broken. But I definitely used alcohol in an unhealthy way and as an unhealthy coping mechanism. And negotiating that since I went alcohol free hasn't been the easiest thing, but it's been far better to negotiate it alcohol free than pouring petrol on it.
Amazing. Susan, I'm going to ask you the same question that I asked Aaron. In fact, I'll ask everybody this question as we get round to everybody. Again, there's somebody listening now, you know, at the start of January. They might feel pretty dreadful. Like, here we go again, you know, another December where I've drunk myself silly. And I'm saying that because I've literally been there and done that for probably the best part of 30 years. And it is nerve-wracking and it is terrifying. And for a lot of people, myself included, you cannot imagine a life without alcohol. What would your advice be, your top tips?
Well, Aaron's already said the one day at a time, because that's crucially important, is not thinking beyond that and just, you don't have to drink today. That's, you know, that was a real mantra for me. My other tip would be about, one of the ironic things is one of the reasons we stopped drinking is to reduce our head chatter. For me, that was one of the reasons. Well, I drink today. Won't I drink today? I'm drinking too much. What am I going to do about it? You know, all of that sort of stuff. So my top tip is, be prepared for the head chatter to increase, and just be prepared for that. But throw yourself into whatever community, you know, you decide to join, and listen to the podcast and educate yourself about alcohol. That's about six tips. And I'm really sorry, everyone. I could do about 20 and leave.
Once Susan starts, she doesn't actually stop. And that's why she's been on the pod twice. That's why she hosts about 15 Zoom calls a week with OTI. That's why she's one of our most popular coaches as well. Susan, you are a wonderful, wonderful woman, and you are such a fantastic example of how life can change when you stop drinking. And I'll never forget what you said on your first podcast with us, you know, like, and you used the words, I have to believe these people, because I think we sounded bonkers. And it does sound bonkers, doesn't it? I could have never believed it. But if you just give yourself that flipping chance.
Absolutely. It's giving yourself a chance to have a different life, a chance. You know, a chance to have some real clarity and a chance to be free. You know, to be free, to drive after 5 o'clock, to do all of those things and be present for the people you love. And I'm doing it again.
And off she goes. She's like a Duracell bunny. It's brilliant. So glad you've joined the call. That word you've just used there. So as well as this main podcast, if you are just listening for the first time, we also have a premium podcast. So if you're a community member, that's included within your membership, but you can also subscribe to that. There's a free trial available on Apple. It's coming on Spotify as well, which we're quite excited about. So we've got a back catalogue. Oh, goodness knows how many episodes. There are absolutely stacks in there. But one we've recorded recently was where the tables were turned, and we had another community member called Matt basically put me in the hot seat. He put Ben in the hot seat. And his final question to me on my episode was, because like you, Susan, once I start talking, I literally never stop. And so he said, I want you to give me one word, like literally one word, on how you would describe what being sober, alcohol-free means to you. And I didn't even have to think about it. It was just freedom. Freedom. It's complete and utter freedom. But until you cut those strings that are tying you down, or those flipping chains, or however you want to describe it, you jump off that hangover hamster wheel of hell, then you experience complete and utter freedom. So, Susan, as always, it's a pleasure. We need to get you back on for a full hour, your third episode. Thank you so much. Oh, it's brilliant. Really, really good to talk. What was really interesting there as well is that Susan acknowledged the fact that during the month of January, Susan had a drink, but it didn't derail her. It was a blip. She picked herself up, cracked on, and here she is now about to mark 3 years alcohol-free. I can say hand on heart that during the course of me trying to change my relationship with alcohol, trying to moderate, I never once nailed a dry January, regardless of the day I started on or a weekend or a Monday or whatever it was. I never, ever, ever nailed it. Quite often I could do the 1st of January because felt like death warmed up, you know, after a heavy New Year's Eve. And then I could do the 2nd and I could do the 3rd. And every single year without fail, I would cave on the 4th. So I can't sit here and share with you that I was ever successful in dry January. I mean, to be honest with you, you can start this at any time. You absolutely can. I started in September, which for me worked brilliantly. It was like a reset. It was like the whole new pencil case, back to school, sort the kids. Right, I'm going to sort my own shit out. And it worked a treat for me. Somebody else I want to talk to about maybe dry January not working, but it doesn't matter if it doesn't because you can start again, is another of our brilliant community members. It's Susan. Susan, how are you doing? Welcome to Over the Influence.
Hello, thank you. Yeah, I'm good, thank you.
So give us a bit of information about you, Susan. Where did it all start?
Oh, it started about 10 years ago when I was drinking wine just because I'd had a bad day. I was drinking wine because I'd had a good day. I was drinking wine because I was bored. I was drinking wine because it was Friday, and that's what you do on a Friday. I was drinking wine because it's Tuesday, and just because. And it was just getting a bit silly. And over the years, I've never tried to stop before because I didn't have a problem. I was all right. I would stop for a few weeks leading up to an event, perhaps, to show that I didn't have a problem, prove to myself I'm all right, me. Don't have a problem.
We could say it a lot, can't we? We could keep churning out the same lines.
I don't have a problem, it's fine. I tried various things. I even at some points reached out for help, like medically, like, you know, when you turn 40 and you go to the doctors and you get like your general checkup and they go, oh, how much do you drink? And I even said to the lady, actually, I drink too much. I should probably think about, you know, getting some help to stop. And she was like, oh, us working mums, we all need it though, don't we? Oh, we do. Just completely shut me down. And then I went away thinking, oh, I'm all right. I'm a stressed working mum. I'm all right. Have a glass of wine, you know, all that nonsense. So, you know, various times over the last few years, I've thought about it. You know, like Susan just mentioned, I would do dry January. And if the 31st of January fell on a Monday, I'd go, oh, well, it's Friday, I can stop on a Friday, you know. I remember going to bed at 8:30 on a Friday sulking because I couldn't have a glass of wine, and I was just miserable through it, and clearly it didn't work. What worked for me was finding this place, because I didn't know sober podcasts were a thing. I used to listen to podcasts, I used to listen to comedy podcasts, food podcasts. I did not know sober podcasts were a thing. And I actually gave up on an all-inclusive holiday in Mexico.
Every credit, Susan.
Yeah. In April. So not this year, the year before. So filling my ears with podcasts, reading all the Quitlet, you know, on my iPad so nobody knew what I was reading. And, yeah, it just stuck. And towards the end of the holiday, this was a pure coincidence because I'd already decided I was going to stop. She was 11 at the time, my 11-year-old. We were playing cards, having a drink, you know, no dramas. And there was never really any dramas, you know. I wasn't horrendous, you know. I wasn't like, you know, kids didn't find me unconscious or anything. But my 11-year-old said, "Mummy, are you an alcoholic?" And I just felt like I'd been stabbed in the heart, and I'm trying to keep my face calm. And I was just like, oh, no, sweetheart, why are you asking that? And she went, just because you drink wine every night, I just thought you were an alcoholic. And I went, oh, no, you're right. I do drink wine every night. It's not good for me, and I should stop and all that. And honestly, inside, I was absolutely dying. And then, as I say, I'd already decided, I was already listening to the podcast loads and what have you. And anyway, we got home and it was Friday night and the kids used to fight over who would pour me wine. That was like the ritual we had. My turn to pour mummy's wine. So they went to get the wine and there was none. And I said, I'm not drinking anymore. I'm going to knock it on the head. And they were like, and my daughter went, oh, mummy, is that because of what I said? And I went, no, I'd already decided, I didn't want her to think that, it was her fault that I wasn't allowed my wine anymore, So, but it just sort of cemented that it was absolutely the right time for me. And the other thing that worked for me as well was just after years and years and years of denial, just accepting I cannot moderate, full stop. No debate, no, Susan mentioned the pecking of your head. Of, oh, well, I'll just drink on a weekend. Oh, well, I can't drink Friday, so I'll drink Thursday instead. Oh, well, Wednesday's nearly Thursday, isn't it? And I've had a bad day. All that nonsense that goes on in your head.
I'm only laughing, Susan, because I've been there and done that with knobs on for the best part of three decades. It's excruciating. Yeah, it is.
It's exhausting. It is, and now tiring. It's not there. It's just, you mentioned the word freeing. It's so liberating just to not have that pecking of your head anymore. It's just such a lovely place to be. And, you've got clarity of thought. I mean, luckily I've not got many dramas in my life, happily married, great kids, all the rest of it. But still, life throws shit at you. And I'm dealing with it with a clear head. And I'm not, two bottles of wine in going, God, am I going to deal with this? I'm just cracking on and dealing with it. And I feel like I've just totally got my shit together. And that attitude has got me to, I just hit 600 days last week. Which, and obviously the community has been a huge part of that. I joined probably about a month, 6 weeks in, because initially I was like, oh, why would I pay to join a community? What? And then you think, it's nothing. It's like two bottles of wine and, you pay for two bottles of wine. So when I joined it, I was like, why have I not done this 10 years ago? Obviously it didn't exist 10 years ago, but you know what I mean? Why have I not done this sooner?
And also I think, if I could just jump in there, Susan, that there's a lot of... as you talked about there, the denial, there's a lot of denial. You talked about trying to change your relationship for 10 years and then you're thinking, oh, I'm going to join a community. Is this admitting that something is really awful and that I'm some sort of sad sack or failure? No, it's not. And it's removing the denial and it's admitting that maybe, there is a problem. There is something to address, but I think the best thing for me, because I also joined a community in my really, really early days. In fact, I mean, I've been part of a community since day one. If it wasn't for that support and connection, I'd still be drinking. I know I would. So tell me what finding the podcast meant for you, how that helped, and then actually joining OTI 4 to 6 weeks in, whatever it was.
Yeah, so just listening to the podcast and listening to what you said, I think, in the intro, that you were drinking too much, too often, too fast. And again, I was like, oh my God, that was me. I'd never heard it summed up like that before. And that just hit the spot with me. And I'm like, oh my God, if Shaz can do it, then I can do it. It sounds like we were sort of similar in our drinking habits. I know you always don't like to sort of talk about how much people have drank because everyone's different, aren't they? But it just hit the spot. And as I say, I joined the community and from day one, I didn't regret it. I mean, I used to join the Zooms with Ben. And he used to laugh at me because he used to call, I was the grubby little, you guys were my grubby little secret.
I really remember this.
Because I used to join when, because my husband works from home and I used to join on a Wednesday when he was in the office. So I could talk freely and, and when he was at home, I was like checking the door, make sure he didn't come in while I was chatting and stuff. So he used to laugh at me saying that was the grubby little secret. And now, I mean, you've met my husband, he's been on the events and, he totally supports everything. And now I host the Zooms, which I absolutely adore doing. I love it so much. You get so invested in people's stories and you're just willing everyone, to do well. And also just going back to what we talked about earlier about like hitting the targets and, hitting your 100 days, hitting your year. I never did that. I never said, well, I'll get to 100 days and see how I feel, because my experience of dry January was, oh, I'll get to the end of the month, or oh, a couple of days before, all that nonsense that I talked about. I never did that this time around. All I said to myself was enough, just enough. I didn't want to go, I'm never drinking again, because that's a scary thing to say. And, it's quite overwhelming to say that, but just saying enough, accepting I can't moderate and joining the community has got me to over 600 days.
Amazing. Susan, we think you're fabulous. I can't believe you're over 600 days. Well, I can, but it's just like happened really, really quickly from 6 weeks to 600 days. And you are a much loved community member. You give so much to the people within the community. As you said there, you host our Zoom calls as well now, which is brilliant. For that person listening now in January and maybe just considering for the first time, there's an issue and I need to change it. What would your advice be?
The fact that they are listening means they do want to change. So just trust yourself with that decision. You've made the decision. Just trust yourself that it's the right thing to do. Just accept it's the right thing to do. Crack on and do it. Sort your shit out.
Thank you. I couldn't have said it better myself. You've been listening to me for quite a long time now. Just sort your shit out. Crack on and do it. Come on. Come on. Susan, thank you so much for sharing on Over the Influence. We've got about 15 minutes or so left. So let's crack on and hear from more of our amazing community members. Next up, it's like a lineup on Blind Date. Next up is Rebecca from Sheffield. Rebecca, how are you? And thank you for joining us on the pod.
Hi, Shaz. Thank you for having me. I am really good. So I'm Rebecca from Sheffield and I took a break from drinking the 1st of January. So I will soon be at my year anniversary. So I'm really excited. I decided then 1st of January to do 100 days alcohol free with another lovely community member, Natalie, who I know you're speaking to later. I did like the odd sober October previously. I took a 6 week break late summer in 2022. And then I thought, well, I'll go back and I'll moderate. And I felt amazing when I did the 6 weeks. Thought I could moderate. You can't moderate because you're just, a bit like Susan just said, you're just thinking about it all the time. You're thinking, well, I better not drink Monday through Thursday. And then, you know, I'm out at the weekend and then you have a lot to drink at the weekend. And then you kind of think, well, I'll have a little bit more on a Sunday because, you know, it's still the weekend. And ultimately, I just knew I felt amazing when I stopped drinking. So I planned to do 100 days. And I never said whether I was going to continue. I just knew I wanted to get to the 100 days. I really wanted to kick off the year with something super positive. And I got to 100 days. And 100 days was, I think it was about 5 days after my birthday. So I knew I was going to have my first alcohol-free birthday in. Well, since I was pregnant with my children, so many years.
Amazing.
And once I'd done that, I thought, I can continue this. A birthday's a big deal to not drink on. And so I carried on and I've done music festivals. I've been on holiday. I've took myself on a solo yoga retreat. I've done all sorts. I've filled my year and none of this would have happened if I'd have not quit drinking. I know it wouldn't because I've just reevaluated absolutely everything.
And do you know what, Rebecca? It's been an absolute pleasure to witness all of this. It's been brilliant. So if you listen to this thinking, hang on, she's alcohol free 1 year today. As we were recording, we're recording this just before New Year's Day. So if you're thinking the dates don't match, when you're hearing this, Rebecca will be alcohol free as we record. She's literally days away from her first year. Oh, crikey. Where to start? I mean, I've seen what you've done, you know, and I've seen your struggles as well when you're thinking it's hard and you've got a lull and you've got relationship changes or friendship changes and all the rest of it, but you've kept plowing through. Take yourself back to this time last year, Rebecca. What would you say was the hardest thing and how did you navigate that?
I think the hardest thing was thinking, how am I going to fill my time if it's not going to be meeting people, going out, drinking. Not that I can't meet the people and not drink, but my social life, in all my social circles, were constantly, we were going to pubs, we were going out for meals and drinks, we were going to each other's houses and drinks. And so it's everything is centered around drinking. And so that was my worry. Like, how am I going to, I don't want to sit at home and just not drink. I want a full life not drinking. And it was, that's been kind of the focus for me really from quite early on, because I don't want to just tick another day off thinking, brilliant, I've done another day, another week of not drinking. I really wanted to go out and create, maybe just, somebody said, God, a good few months ago about creating new traditions and finding new things that you're interested in. And that's been absolute key for me. So that was my big worry. And I kind of overcame that by really deliberately making sure I filled my weekends with with stuff that I was looking forward to, even evenings when it would have been 1 o'clock while I'm cooking a meal. I would buy, I don't know, sweet treats to look forward to once I'd eaten my meal that I wouldn't normally eat. Just stuff like that. For me, I've got to have something to look forward to. I can't just get through another day. Otherwise, I would have found that really hard work.
What's been the highlight over the last 12 months?
God, just life in full colour, which I don't even recognise myself in some ways. I've met amazing people through this community, both in real life and some I'm yet to meet in real life, but just a companionship and a trust with people that is really, really true, and a pride in myself, which I feel like you don't feel like you've got a lot of that if you're trying to cut down on drinking, and then you don't make it through another weekend and you think, oh, I should have not drank and I've drank, and you kind of think, oh God, why can't I do it? The pride in, you know, getting to the day count that I'm on now. And knowing that I'm resting every evening when I lay down in bed and I wake up the next morning and I think, I've treated my body to a really good night's sleep.
It's glorious, isn't it? I mean, you jump on my Zoom calls maybe really early on a Saturday morning and it's like, oh, Friday night sleep, it's so, so good. And you do wake up rested. Rebecca, it's been amazing to watch your journey over the last 12 months. Huge congratulations on one whole year of sobriety, of being alcohol-free, however you want to describe it. For somebody listening now, you know, where you've been 1 year ago and the nervous, apprehensive, what would your advice be?
I think my advice would be to not try and white knuckle it. Really know that there is absolute joy the other side of removing alcohol. It's not, it can be difficult. You can come up against, you know, challenges in your social life, in your family, with your friends, but ultimately, you can fill your life full of so much more amazing stuff. So keep going.
Brilliant. Rebecca, thank you. And I can hear the pride in your voice. I can. And it's wonderful. It's infectious. So thank you so, so much. One thing you touched on, Rebecca, was connections and making friends, both in real life and virtually. And one of your fabulous friends, who's also one of our community members as well, is Natalie. And Natalie joins us from the States. How are you? And whereabouts are you, Natalie?
I'm great, Sharon. I'm in the Pacific Northwest. So normally it's cloudy here like the UK, but today we brought the sunshine.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing. Let's start with the importance of connection, Natalie, and what that's meant to you. And you've just heard there from one of your really good friends, Rebecca.
You know, and I'll try to not get emotional. I didn't plan on that, but just, I know not everyone else can see our faces, but I can see Rebecca, and I've never met her, and we have talked every single day on Marco Polo for a year. And I consider her one of my dearest, closest friends. I've shared things with her that no one else has heard about me, and things that, you know, are very few people, but it's something that you can't even describe, the community. And that would be one of my biggest things, Sharon, is to, I did my first dry, what I would call like a planned dry January. I'd taken like cleanses and done detoxes prior. But in 2020, I did a dry January and I plugged into a Facebook group, but I didn't engage. I watched and it was impactful. I did it. I rallied a few of my friends that I go to happy hour with all the time because I said, I'm not going to happy hour with you this month. So do you want to do dry January with me? There was a few of us that did it. And the difference, though, is I didn't plug in with people that were really wanting to make a change in their relationship with alcohol at that time. I watched from the sidelines, and yes, that made a difference, because even though, you know, now we're looking back for 3 years, 4 years down the road, I have drank that time in between. I still remembered how good I felt. I still remembered the impact that 1 month made. So it changed me, even though I maybe didn't change completely, it changed me on the inside.
Tell me more about that. How did it change you and led you to where you are today, Natalie?
When I was 47, I went through a divorce and I was diagnosed with breast cancer. I'm 52 now, so that was 5 years ago. And ever since then, I've taken a really deeper dive looking at my health, looking at certain things I've used to cope in an unhappy marriage, going through a health diagnosis like that. At the time, though, they did not say stop drinking completely. Now that has changed. So over the 5 years, I've been listening, I've been reading, I've been digging into my health, and every other aspect of my life, I would say, is pretty healthy, pretty normal, like say, pretty healthy. And it was this one thing. It, you know, many, many people around me drank just like I did. So it was not a problem, but there was a nudge. There was something inside of me going, what if you took a look at this? It doesn't have to be forever, and just see. There's nothing, though, that has been better. I took a 100-day break at the top of the year. I'm like the bookend person this year. Took a 100-day break. Never in a million years I would have thought you were crazy if you said, Natalie, you're not going to drink for 100 days. I went on a trip. And when I went back after that 100 days, I drank. And I journaled every... That's another tip I would have. I know some people can't stand journaling, but even if it's a couple notes, because I read over those dates and I looked at the months that I drank, I looked at the months that I didn't drink, and not one experience was better when I was drinking. And the cost for those of us, and I don't mean to leave the men out, but those of us that are women that are in our 40s, in our 50s, our hormones change. So the cost of just a couple of drinks, I would wake up sweaty, I would wake up anxious. And the costs were way greater than the benefit. And I just thought, what am I doing? Why am I doing this? Why am I fighting so hard to keep something in my life that isn't bringing me the benefit?
Natalie, we could talk for a whole hour. What you just said there about hormones and women of a certain age, it's a whole episode in itself, and I want to revisit that at some point in early 2024. We are so pushed for time on this call. Two very quick questions. I'm going to end with you. The same question I've asked everybody else. You know, your top tips. What would you say to somebody now starting out in the month of in January? But how do you feel now where you are on your alcohol-free journey?
You know, I feel a couple of you use words. I feel an inner peace. You know, there's many things in my outside world that haven't changed. There's things like all of us that are hard. We have a greater capacity to deal with those things, to have a sense of confidence. I trust myself more. I trust my word more. It's not perfect. You know, none of us are perfect, but that would best describe it. I would say how I feel.
Natalie, thank you. It's so good to hear that. And what would you say to somebody now thinking, oh God, I can't do it. It's hard.
I wish someone could follow me. I was so nervous to share for even a few minutes because I thought, what do I have to share? And I thought, if one person, I listened to so much. I listened to podcasts while I was drinking. I listened and heard people's stories, and don't overthink it. Write down, I would suggest writing down, I did this in January 2020. I wrote down why I was doing Dry January. Why did I want to do this? Why did I want to try this? And I looked at that list every single day of those reasons why. Every single day I looked at that list. And I don't think you can do it wrong. There's not a wrong way to do it. Because if you attempt to do it, no matter how it goes, there's not a failure. There's not a way to do it right. There's not a way to do it wrong. You will learn and you'll grow. Just keep back at it. Keep going. Keep listening to podcasts. Plug in. Meet some people. And you can't go wrong. You can't lose.
Natalie, you're a star. Thank you for joining OTI from the States. Hugely, hugely appreciated. We shall talk more at some point in the very near future. We've got about 3 minutes left, and I'm really sorry. I feel like I'm really rushing now. Issa, our final community member on this call. Issa, we're nearly out of time. I suppose I want to ask you how you would sum up your time with Over the Influence since you joined us. Feels like you've been with us forever, and that's a good thing, by the way. I'm not being insulting there.
Well, I started listening, and I a year ago, I'd say, when I stopped drinking around that time, I started listening to OTI and I thought I just can do it on my own. You know, listening to you was like having friends, but I didn't involve. And joining the community about 5 months later, when I found out that it's not just putting out alcohol out of my life, but it's about emotions coming up and healing work and other things. I just thought I just skipped the alcohol, but it wasn't only that. So then the community, I decided, next big decision after deciding not to drink anymore, next big decision was to join OTI. And well, it's a safe community. It's a safe place to just share all the thoughts and all the chattering in your head and all the emotions coming up. And I'm so thankful to have found all these beautiful people, to get to know you and to understand it's not only me who was thinking, well, was I an alcoholic or was I not, or what the heck is going on here? I just stopped drinking and it changes so much, and you need to share. And that's what I want to share now with all these people who are thinking about joining OTI or thinking about stopping drinking. Look for people you can talk to. And you can talk. I found out I cannot talk to my normal friends who are still drinking. You cannot share what you are going through. It sounds so hard, but you cannot share. And you can share it in this safe space and this community and find really, I'd say you are all my friends now, if this is all right for you. But I've got the feeling I've found friends.
Oh, Issa, I couldn't have said it better. What a beautiful way to end this New Year's special episode of Over the Influence. Issa, thank you so much. Susan, Rebecca, Aaron, Natalie, the other Susan, I think I've mentioned everybody there. Thank you so much for joining me on this call. If you would like any further information at all about what we do at Over the Influence, you can find us online. We are at overtheinfluence.co.uk. You can drop us an email direct, which is otihq@overtheinfluence.co.uk. You can find us on social media. We're on Facebook. We are on Instagram. Just search for Over the Influence or Alcohol Free Pod. And if you are listening to this for the very, very first time and you're thinking, I'm on my own, it's hard, it's a struggle, you're not on your own, and yeah, it will be hard at times, but I'll tell you what, you can have a really flipping good laugh along the way. Stick with Over the Influence. If you want any further info, get in touch, and good luck if you are having a dry month. We'll be back with you the same time next week.